Sunday, Yud Ches Shvat, Rabbi Daniel Klein, the Indian of taking a chumrah on someone else's expense.
Good morning. This week's parasha Mishpatim deals with primarily the halachos of Ben Adam Lechaveiro, and I was just thinking that perhaps to give one principle that applies not specifically to one halacha, but one that can be applied in many places. We all know that halacha, as it were, is split. There's the direct halacha. There are the things that the Rav says are definitely mutter and definitely asa. And then we have this realm of halacha, not strict halacha, called chumras, where although something may be mutter, although the Rav may say that something is permitted, the Chofetz Chaim, for example, often in Mishneh Berurah says a Baal Nefesh should be machmir. There are certain cases when there's a machlokes, one Rav says yes, one Rav says no, and although there's a heter given for it, one understands that sometimes one wants to be cautious and one will be machmir. And the question is, are you allowed to take on a chumrah if that is at someone else's expense? So let's give one example. I'm from Golders Green, so an example that very much can occur there. Obviously, in Golders Green, as everyone will know, there is a machlokas where we have an Erev, and there is a different rabbonim hold different things on the Erev. Some say it's okay, and some say it's not okay. So if let's say there's a balabos who goes to a shul where his Rav says the Erev is fine, and he accepts that Rav is his posuk, and whatever that Rav says, he fully accepts. However, he knows that in town there are certain rabbonim who say yes, some say no. He knows that there are all these names bandied about, Chazanish, Ramosha, who knows, what does he know? And he decides, I've managed for so many years without carrying, I'll carry on. I want to be machmir. Chumrah, not chumrah. He thinks, if I just don't carry, I can't have done anything wrong. He wants to be machmir. He turns to his wife and says, listen, I'm not going to carry in the Erev. Okay. Then on Shabbos, his wife says, listen, I want to have a shluf. Do you mind if you take the baby out? Sorry, I don't carry in the Erev. Is he allowed to take on a chumrah, which is at his expense? You can do what you like. But can you take on a chumrah which impacts upon your wife? So he's not even suggesting that the halacha is that it's osa to carry in the Erev. He's just saying, I want to be machmir, I can't do something wrong by not carrying. Are you allowed to be machmir on someone else's cheshbon, at someone else's expense? That's just one example of where the shaila would come out. I want to intersperse the shir with several halachas and several examples from the Chumash. Just one example to get us started from the Chumash that one sees. We have Avraham Avinu, when he fought the four kings. He came back and the Melech Sodom said to him, take whatever you like. Thank you very much. You can have all the spoils that you want. And Avraham Avinu said, "In mechut v'atzreichnar, I don't want to take neither a thread nor a shoelace. I don't want to take anything. Why don't I want to take anything? Because it's Avram, I don't want anyone to say, Ani hesharti es Avram. I don't want anyone to go around town saying, they made me wealthy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a promise. He said he's going to make me rich. When I become rich, I want everyone to know that came from Hashem. I don't want to take from human beings. Okay, we understand. The problem is that about three parshas early in the Torah, Sarai is taken by Paroi. And when Paroi lets Sarai go, he says to Avram, the Torah says, he gives him gold and silver, money, he gives him sheep, he gives him cattle, he gives him donkeys, and Avram laps it all up, he takes them all. It's a very, very conflicting parasha. On the one hand, Maishnot that from Melech Sodom, Avram refused to take money because he doesn't want to say, Ani Yashanti's Avram, and Maishnot from Paroi, that Avram's got no problem taking the money. So I once thought very simply, the Torah says, after Avram left Paroi, the Torah says, Vayelech Avram lemasa'ov. Avram went to his journeys. It says he travelled back north from Mitzrayim up to Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi asks, what's the extra word lemasa'ov? Vayelech Avram, Avram went. What's this that he went to his journeys? Of course, wherever he goes, he's journeying. Why do you have to tell me that? Says Rashi, lemasa'ov means he went on his journeys that he'd already been. He retraced his steps. Vayelech Avram lemasa'ov, on his previous journey, he retraced. Says Rashi, why does Avram retrace his steps? Because when Avram came down to Mitzrayim, he had no money. And wherever he stayed, Rashi says he stayed on credit. He left them with an IOU. Right? He says, one day, when I'm able to pay, I will pay. Now Avram's got money. Vayelech Avram lemasa'ov. Avram went back to repay his debts. B'chayra, that answers the question. Why did Avram not take money from Melech Sodom? Was he not entitled to the money from the Melech Sodom? No, he was entitled. Why didn't he want to take it? A chumrah. I don't want anyone to say, Ani hasharti es Avram. I don't want anyone to say they made me rich. Yeah, but after Parah, you owe money. Of Yenis Cheshbon, I owe him money because I stayed in his hotel. I'm not going to take the money when I owe someone else. No, of Yenis Cheshbon, I'm not going to take my chumras and my niya shouti is Avram. If someone's offering me money and I owe someone else, I take the money and I pay off because the innkeeper shouldn't lose out because I don't want to take money because somebody might say, niya shouti is Avram. An example that you see that although a person may live their standard one way, but not necessarily do you have to live your standards if it's a chumra on someone else's expense. I think you all have a chumash. I want to break down the shayla into three. Can you be machmer on your wife's cheshbon? Can you be machmer on your friend's cheshbon? And can you be machmer on your children's cheshbon? So just want to start off with the wife. If you look in Parsha Shoftim, in the middle of Devarim, Perek Chof, do you have there's a couple of chumashim around. Here's a spare one. It's a very, very interesting diuk in the psukim. In Perek Chof, the Torah describes the halachas of going to battle, and it says that the shoiter, the clerk, or the army chief, for whatever words we want to call him, he cries out that there are three types of people who do not have to go to battle. Eventually four, but three types of people that we're going to focus on. I want you to look at psukim, Hey, Vav, and Zayin. The Torah says, Posuk Hey, Perachov Posuk Hey. The Dibru HaShoitrim Ela'om Leimor, the Shoitrim spoke to the people and they said three things. Number one, Mi Ha'ish HaShebona Ba'is Chodosh, who is the man who's built a new house, V'loi Chanoch and hasn't dedicated? If you've built a new house and have not lived in it, then you can go home. Why? Pen Yomus Bamochoma, perhaps you will die in battle. That's example one. Next Posuk Vav. Who is the man who has planted a vineyard and hasn't yet eaten from its fruits? Example 2. Also, he can go home. So why? Pen yomus v'machama, perhaps he'll die. Okay, so new house, and you haven't lived, planted a vineyard and haven't eaten, go home, pen yomus. Third example, Zion. Who has got engaged and not yet married? Also, he can go home, pen yomus v'machama. Three times the Torah says exactly the same phraseology. And isn't it interesting, if you look at Rashi, Rashi in Posek Hey and Posek Vav just describes the details of the man. And suddenly in Posek Zayin, if you see, there's a Rashi Dibba HaMasul Pen Yomus Bamochoma, as though it's the first time that these three words have appeared. Says Rashi, Pen Yomus Bamochoma, perhaps he'll die. Yoshev, says Rashi, he should return Pen Yomus in case he dies. She'im lo yishma ledivri ha-kayin, if he doesn't listen to the Kayin, Kedai hu she'yomus, it is befitting that he does die. Amazing. Three psukim, Hey, Vav, and Zion, all the same expression. If you built a new house, if you have planted a vineyard, and if you're engaged, all say pen yomus v'machama. And on the third one, Rashi says, and if you don't listen, kedai sheyomus. Why only on the third one? Efshir, Rashi's telling you, if you want to be a machmir, the army says you built a new house and you want to go home, you can go home. You don't want to go home. You're a machmir. You want to go to battle because you feel it's the right thing to do. Okay, go to battle. You might die, you might not. You've planted a vineyard. You want to be a machmir. The Torah says you can go home. You want to stay and fight. Okay, you want to stay and fight. You're engaged. When you stay and fight, is that just on your cheshbon? That's not just on your cheshbon. That's at your wife's expense. The Torah says you're allowed to go home to make her happy. You choose to stay on. This says Rashi, Pen Yomus B'Mochama Kedai Hu Shiyomus. On your own cheshbon, you want to be a machmir, you can be a machmir. But don't start saying, oh, I want to stay in battle when you're engaged and the Torah let you go home because your fiancé is waiting at home and you can get married. There says Rashi, Kedai Hu Shiyomus. Efshadik, that on someone, on a wife's cheshbon, one should not be accepting chumras. Okay, that's a dik from a Rashi, Metoch Drush, as it were. What I want to tell you is a halacha. Halacha, which actually says the opposite. It's a tshuva of Sam Sefer. A very, very interesting tshuva. Sam Sefer was asked the following shayla. It's in Yerodei Chelik Beis, tshuva Kuf Mem Tes. Said the following shayla. A rav in a small town was once approached by a lady. And this lady had a shayla in Hilchas Nidah. She wasn't sure whether or not she was a Nidah. She had seen certain stains, and she was unsure whether or not she was a nidah or she wasn't. She went to the Rav. The Rav spent some time deliberating, this way and that way. And eventually he said to the lady, you're not a nida. You haven't had your period, you can go home. Materis labala, no problem. You're not a nida. The woman goes home and she tells her husband all excitedly that she's not a nida. And the husband says, it was a shaila though. She says, yes. She goes, the Rav spent a couple of hours thinking about it and he paskened. I want to be machme. It was a shaila. Obviously there was something that's going on in the Rav's head. He must have stodim, a hair and a hair. I want to be machme. This lady goes distraught back to the Rav and she says, you are our Rav. Will you please tell my husband that stodim and I'm not a nidda. So the Rav calls in the husband and explains to the husband, and the husband says, Rabbi, you are my Rav and I follow your psak. However, it happens to be there is stodim here and there and I want to be machme. The Rav wrote a tshuva to the Chasam Sofer. Is a husband allowed to be machme on his wife's cheshbon? Can he just simply say, yes, of course, there are always, in big questions, there are always different poskim. He's the Rav, he has made the psak. Is a husband allowed to take on a chumrah if it's going to be at his wife's expense? And when it comes to a husband and a wife, it's more severe. Because the Torah says that there are three things that a husband must support his wife with. Sheh, ksus, and oina. It's a pasuk in this week's parasha. And that means you have to support your wife by giving her food. You have to support, a man must support his wife by giving her clothes. And a man must support his wife in personal relations. He has a chiyuv of sheh, ksus, and oina. This husband, who's making a chumrah against, over and above what his Rav says, is he allowed to take on such a chumrah, although he has committed himself when he got married to certain things? The Chasam Sofer gives the most amazing answer. I'll introduce, I'll take a couple of minutes to go through, so please hold with me. The Gemara in Ksubas has, again, a very interesting shaila. You know, the different people, depending on what their jobs are obviously home different times of the day and different amounts of the year. So nowadays in our society, travel is so easy, so the majority of people manage to work, as it were, locally, whether locally means here inside your own Edgware or whether locally means in the West End. But most people are businessmen who are able to return home every night. Says the Mishnah in Ksubas, if a person is able to return home every night, then his chiyuv to his wife in everything is that a person has to give attention every single day. However, says the Gemara, if a person has a job that takes him out of town, the Gemara gives several examples. If you are a donkey driver, that you're out of town for a few days at a time, then your chiyuv vis-a-vis what you have to relate to your wife is only once every several days. If you're a camel driver who treks across the desert, then from memory the Mishnah says you only have to be home once every 3 months. And if you're a sailor who goes across the seas, you only have to be home once every 6 months. So depending on your job, that depends as to how often you are home. Ask the Gemara, Chamor v'nasa gamel. You have a donkey driver who is offered the chance to become a camel driver. A camel driver earns more money than a donkey driver. But a camel driver is home less frequently than a donkey. Camels go across deserts and donkeys only go from town to town. Ask the Gemara, do you have to consult your wife before you take the offer? Can you presume, on the one hand, she gains by you making more money? On the other hand, she loses by you being homeless. What does a wife ask for? What does she want? I guess in today's day and age, you can simply say if you've been offered the job, a promotion, and a promotion will take you out of the home. Instead of coming home at 5:30, you'll come home only at 7:30 every night. Can you accept your promotion, or must you ask your wife? That would be the similar sort of shaila we'd have today. What does a woman prefer? Does she prefer the cash, or does she prefer the presence of her husband? I'm sure we could all discuss this ad infinitum and all come up probably with different answers. So the Gemara's psak is that a woman prefers her husband to be home more often. Okay? Now that's the, i.e., you cannot simply accept the promotion on the basis I'm bringing home more money, so you should be happy. You have to, if that's what she says, you can consult her, if that's what she wants. It doesn't say anywhere, by the way, that a wife can force her husband to take the promotion because she wants more cash, or maybe because she doesn't want him at home so often. But it does say that if you want to take the promotion, you have to ask. Chamor v'nasa gamel has to ask. Now, I printed for you a Rambam. It's the single sheet. A Rambam Mehilchas Ishus, Perek Yudalad, if you can look at Halacha Beis. The Rambam says as follows, Halacha Beis. Yesh le'isha, a woman has the right, la'akev al ba'ala, shelo yetzei l'scheira, that she can, prohibit is the wrong word, she can hold her husband back she can prevent her husband from not going out to business ela lamokim karev, so that he will only go to places that are nearby. Shlayim namainoso, in order that he wouldn't hold back from his relations to her, because she wants him to be close by. So she can hold him back. Vloyeta ela vrshusa, he's only allowed out with her permission. Now I want you to skip 1.5 lines where he says v'talmidei chachomim. The Rambam says, Talmidei Chachomim, again in the middle of Halacha Beis, Yotzim the Talmud Torah, they are allowed to go to learn Shaloi B'Shus Nishisayim without asking their wife's permission, Shtayim V'Shalishanim, for 2 or 3 years at a time. V'chein Rach V'Omnuk Shanaz the Talmud Chachom, a soft man who suddenly became a Talmud Chachom, for some reason Talmud Chachom viewed as hard men, Ein Ishtoi Yichoyah La'akev, his wife is not allowed to object. So we see a massive difference. If it's business, you have to ask your wife's permission. If you're going to go to learn, you don't have to ask. Not only do you not have to ask, if she objects, you don't have to listen. Wife doesn't have to, does not have the power to prevent her husband. And the Emma says, it comes out from the Gemara in Ksubas. Says the Chasam Sefer, what's the difference between business and Talmud Torah? Says the Chasam Sefer, a massive chiddush. He says, whenever a woman gets married, she knows that the way of the world is that people, as they grow older, they start becoming more religious. Call it whatever you want to call it. They become people as they grow older for many different reasons. They simply don't have the tithes maybe that they used to have. They start thinking more how they're going to meet their creator. We can all think of different reasons. As people grow older, they generally calm down, tone down from what they're doing, and gradually increase their level of observance. Says the Chasam Sofer, whenever a woman gets married, she must realize that her husband's going to start becoming more shomer Torah mitzvahs and start keeping more and more. Therefore, when her husband chooses to go to learn, she cannot turn around and say, what a surprise, who would have dreamt it? Because when she gets married, she would have realized that that's possibly and very probably what's going to happen, that she's married somebody who's not so learned, and he's going to want to go to learn. Says the Chasam Sofer, therefore, if the woman objects to her husband going to learn, he's not the one who has changed. She's the one who has changed, because when they got married under the chuppah, she realized that it's very possible in 20 years time that's what he's going to want to do, and she didn't say anything. If she now wants to object to him going to learn, she's the one who's changed, not him. The words of the Chasam Sofer are to this Rav, tell the wife who wants to say that she's not a nidda, because the Rav paskened, tell the wife if she married a bachur ragil, a regular bachur, she would have known that the likelihood is he'll start taking chumras. And if the likelihood is he'll start taking chumras, she cannot say now, I didn't know that, he's changed, it's not fair, he's taking them on my cheshbon, because you wife are the one who has changed, not him. You should have expected him to become a machmir, and therefore when he takes on the chumras, he's only doing what you could have expected him to do. Massive chiddush in the halachas of between a husband and a wife in all respects. Interestingly enough, there would not seem therefore to be a difference between husband or wife. In other words, if we'd have to know, there's no Chasam Sofer about it, but what is the nature of a lady as she grows older? Does she also start taking on more levels of religious observance? But if she does, one would have exactly the same ideas, that is, the wife changed when she starts taking on, or has she not changed? Can the wife therefore be machmer on her husband's cheshbon, because she can say, listen, that's just the way of the world, that people normally take on more chumras. So from the Chasam Sofer doesn't say that for marriage counseling this is the best way to go about. He doesn't tell the husband, you should be machmer, right? That he doesn't say that that's what you should do. His question just is, if he is machmer, does he have a right to do so? And the answer is yes. Doesn't suggest that that's what's best practice, but if you want to, then you have the right. Okay, so that's different, of course, the raya we brought from Parsha Shoftim, which is mashma that kedaihu sheyomis, if you take on a chumra at your wife's cheshbon, that should not kedaihu sheyomis. Chasam Sofer here is mashma that one is allowed to take on a chumra at your wife's expense, whether that's chay that would apply to the Erev, to all sorts of different activities that one can happen. Whether the Chasam Sofer is relevant in today's society, that's not for me to describe. I'm just telling you a tshuva. That's regards a man and his wife. Let's look at a person and his chaver. And your friend. Are you allowed to take on a chumrah at your friend's expense? So one could think of examples, perhaps, of you don't eat certain foods. Let's say there are two different kashrus authorities in town. And one kashrus authority, a balabos fully accepts that both kashrus authorities are fine. We're only talking chumras here. We're not talking Can I take on a halacha because I believe the other halacha is wrong? Chumrah. If there are two kashrus authorities and I believe one halacha, both kashrus authorities are right, but for whatever reason I believe one kashrus authority is a bigger machmir than the other. Let's say, and I know my friend, he does eat from one kashrus authority, but I'm a machmir, I don't. Can I say, if my friend is hungry and wants something to eat, can I say, oh, I don't have any food, just because I don't want him to eat what I consider to be a chumrah, but for him it's perfectly permissible? Can I be machmir on my friend's account? So I want to show you, it's a halacha in Chesh Mishpat. In Hilchus Chesh Mishpat, you have a Torah, again, another photocopy, if you have it, there are other copies around. The Torah at the end of Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, in the new version of the Torah, it's on Pesh Reish Nun Ches. If you look at the bottom on Reish Nun Ches, that's the first side, there's a little Ches about 2.5 lines up. The Torah has as follows: Tshuva laharav Remeah Mirotenberg. A tshuva to Remeah Mirotenberg. Ru'uvein. Sholach l'Shimon, sheyikne lo begodim megoy. Ru'uvein asked Shimon to buy him clothes from a non-Jew, b'hakofa, on credit. Okay, so Ru'uvein has sent Shimon to buy him some clothes, but he's not paid. U'kashegiyaz manapiroyen, when it comes time to pay, nosen Ru'uvein hamoyes the Shimon. Ru'uvein gives the money to Shimon lefreya legoy, to pay the goy. So Ru'uvein has asked Shimon to buy the clothes, and Ru'uvein has now given Shimon the money to go and pay. V'nimsa shehagoy shotchom, and it becomes clear from when discussions that Shimon has with the goy, that the goy has totally forgotten that Ru'uvein owes him money, that Shimon owes him money. It's totally forgotten. He has no memory, and he will never. It doesn't appear that he is ever going to claim the money back from Ru'uvein. So Ru'uvein's given the money to Shimon. Shimon has the cash, and Shimon quite clearly discovers the goy is not going to claim. In such a case, that's toras akum. One doesn't have to, strict halacha, one doesn't have to pay. However, there's a massive kiddush Hashem for somebody to pay. Says the Torah, says Remeah Mirotenberg, Tzorech Shimon lahachzira n'Ru'uvein, Shimon must now return the money to Ru'uvein. Ve'eini yochaloyma, he's not able to say, and he writes la'akvan, I want to keep them, Shema achaz man yiskrema. Goy, he can't say, I just want to keep hold of the money, because perhaps one day the goy will remember, and he has to return them. Now again, I want you to skip about three lines, five lines down on that page. The last word in the line is v'gam. Do you have v'gam? Five lines down, it says v'gam. V'gam, also, eina yochaloyma, Shimon is not allowed to say, ani roitz v'kadesh es Hashem, I want to make a kiddush Hashem and hashivim legoy. You know what, I've got Reuven's money, Reuven really owes. The goy's forgotten. I want to make a kiddush Hashem and give them to the goy. Says the Remeah Mirotenberg, to b'shelo yochal kadeshim shemayim. If you want to make a kiddush Hashem, do it with your own money. V'loy b'shel acherim, don't do it with someone else's money. Again, the same concept. We're talking here about, as it were, a chumrah. There's no halacha to give the money to the goy. You want to be machmir. You want to make a kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is a wonderful mitzvah. It's not something that you have to do. You, Shimon, want to make a kiddush Hashem. Do it with your money. Of yenis cheshbon, don't start saying, I want to be a machmir. I want to make a kiddush Hashem. You do that on your cheshbon, not on someone else's. And again, in keeping in line, if I can bring you a bit of drush similar to this, I once heard something, a thought from Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, Zichron Levracha, from many, many years ago. I'm sure you can hear it still on the tapes, if they have tapes nowadays. I don't know what form of media the tapes are on. He once asked the following question, a very famous question. At the beginning of Parshas Vayera, it says, Vayera elav Hashem be'eloni Mamre. Hashem appeared to Avram in the plains of Mamre. This is one of the highlight parshas of the Torah. We have the three Malachim coming, and Sarah's going to have a baby, and they go to Sodom. And Rashi asks, why did the Torah feel the necessity to tell us be'eloni Mamre? Mamre was a goy, Mamre was a Kanani. Why dafka here? The Torah spells out exactly where Avram was sitting. Says Rashi, because Mamre nosan loy etza ala mila. Mamre gave Avram Avinu advice about bris mila. And all the mafarshim throw their hands up. Avram Avinu went to ask Mamre. Hashem said, I want you to perform a bris mila. Avram Avinu went to ask Mamre, no, yes, no, what do you think, Mamre? And Mamre said yes, and he went and did it. Well, what's going on? Mamre gave Avram Avinu advice on the bris mila. So Rabbi Bernstein said, "B'shem the Maskil LeDovid, Rabbi David Pardo, a wonderful pshat." In the middle of Lech Lecha, back to the story of the four kings and the five kings, Avram Avinu has gone to fight the four kings, and it says that Avram captured some things from the four kings. Melech Sodom he didn't take anything from, but he captured from the four kings, And when he came back to the camp, he split them with Ono Eshkol and Mamre. It's a pasuk just before, just after Chamishi and Lech Lecha, because they were the Baalei Bris Avram. Torah calls them the Baalei Bris Avram. When Avram Avinu went to fight, he called in Ono Eshkol and Mamre to look after his possessions for him. He's leaving his camp unguarded. And he split the spoils with Ono Eshkol and Mamre because they were the Baalei Bris Avram. Baalei Bris, they made a pact, some sort of covenant. Says the Maskil of David, Baalei Bris Avram means that Avram Avinu must have sat down with Ono Eshkol and Mamre and said, listen, we're all in here, we're all in this land together. If ever I need help, you come to help me. If ever you need help, I'll come to help you. Avram said, I'm going to chase the four kings. I'm leaving my possessions unguarded. Please come and look after them. They were the Baalei Bris Avram. They helped him out. They came, therefore Avram split the spoils. Says the Maskil of David, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, I'm wanting to perform Bris Mila. Avraham Avinu says to himself, of course, Bris Mila I'm going to do. But when? When should I perform Bris Mila? What would you normally say if you've got a mitzvah? Straight away. But Avraham Avinu says, but I've got to worry about maybe on Eshkol and Mamre, when do they need me? Maybe next week, boom, they're going to happen to need me. They're the Baalei Bris Avraham. We may have packed. I have to go and ask them, when is most convenient for them? Yes, of course, it's much better to do a mitzvah. It's a chumrah, zrizim makdim le mitzvahs. Mitzvah boli yodcho, you have a mitzvah, do it now. Of course I'm going to do Bris Mila, but when? Should I do it now? Should I do it next week? 3 weeks? He went to ask Ono Eshkol and Mamre, but when should I do the Bris? When's most convenient for you? Mamre nosanay eitzel, I mean, Mamre says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do the Bris. You do it straight away. That says the Maskil of David can be the only thing that Avraham Avinu could have asked. Not should I do, but when should I do? Of Yenis Cheshbon, Avraham Avinu is not going to be a machmir again. He has a mitzvah to do Bris Mila, but to be machmir and take it out on Ono Eshkol and Mamre, that's a chumrah to do it straight away. That he's going to ask somebody first. I'll do the mitzvah, but not a chumrah, to be machmir and Yenis Cheshbon not. Just because at the time, just a quick, we said there are three categories really one can look at. On a wife, we've spoken about the Chasam Sofer and the Diak and Shoftim. On a chava, can you be machmir for a friend? See quite clearly in the Torah, do not be mekadesh shem shemayim with someone else's money, use your own. And the chayra born out by Avraham Avinu and the Bris. And just on a child, can a parent take on a chumrah if that will impact at their child's expense? Just a cute raya. Same parsha, just because we're on that parsha, in Parsha's Vayera again. It says that when the Malachim came, Avraham Avinu was in pain from his Bris Mila. Now, was Avraham Avinu, did he have to do Achnosos Arachim at that point in time? Obviously not. Definitely potter. He's in pain. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so hot that for sure he doesn't have to do Achnosos Arachim. But Avraham Avinu was saddened, so Hashem brought the three Malachim, and then Avraham Avinu did Achnosos Arachim. Did he have to? It was a Chumrah. Of course it was a Chumrah. What does the Torah say? The Torah says that when the Malachim came, he offered them meat. Vayiten el anar. He gave the boko to the na'ar, the lad, and he told the lad, you go and shech the boko, you prepare the food for our guests. Says Rashi, who was the na'ar? Remember who was the na'ar? Yishmael. Why did Yishmael lechanche b'mitzvahs? To educate him in mitzvahs. Now, Avraham Avinu wasn't the only person who had his Bris Mila 3 days previously. Somebody else had their Bris Mila 3 days previously. Torah says Yishmael. Yishmael quite clearly, the end of Lech Lecha, Yishmael had his Bris. Bishleim Avraham Avinu, it's boiling hot. He wants to do Achnosos Arachim. He doesn't have to do Achnosos Arachim, but he wants to do it. He's a machmir. He's desperate. On your own cheshbon, you want to get up. You're in pain. You go and do Achnosos Arachim. On your son, on Yenis cheshbon, he vayitin al anar. Yishmael, get up. Go and do the boko. Go and prepare. That's on Yenis cheshbon. Why is he giving it to Yishmael to do? That's way over and above what's required of Yishmael. L'chayr the pshat is, Mitzvahs Chinuch tells us that it's not always easy to do mitzvahs. A chelik of Mitzvahs Chinuch would not be that we only do mitzvahs when we have to. Part of Mitzvahs Chinuch is that you educate one's children. You do mitzvahs even when it's tough. Even when things aren't easy. Even when it's a chumrah, we still do mitzvahs. The one place Avraham Avinu is going to be machmir, is going to be vayitin el anah, because Yishmael lechanchei b'mitzvahs. Chinuch mitzvah says that we educate our kids that not only when everything's easy, we still do mitzvahs, we still sometimes go over and above the letter of the law. So the one place, the chayr, that a person, and logically that a person could be able to be machmir, you can take on a chumrah even though that will impact upon your children, because other rabbi, you show them, obviously you have to do these things with seichel, and you'll all have your own rav who you ask these questions to, and it's Hashem, if we're taking on something that's slightly over and above the letter of the law, we should be zeicha to some of the brachas that are said in the Torah.